Book talk has become a huge cultural phenomenon, with young people online going nuts for new fiction. But if you've seen this trend, you've probably noticed it's dominated by women. And that's not really a huge surprise, given that women account for about 80% of fiction sales, at least in the US. So where have the male readers gone? And what are the ramifications of men letting their bookshelves get dusty? It might sound like a dystopian nightmare, but some critics say this void could be filled by more harmful male narratives online that can radicalise young men. In a moment, you'll hear about how a book club for tough guys is helping its members see the world through others' eyes. And that's part of why books are so important, right? Like, they're a gateway to the world and to different perspectives. So yes, I'm about to get into the big picture, but I'd love to hear from you on a novel that's allowed you to walk in someone else's shoes, given you a new perspective, made you think about others' experiences. I'm joined by Julia Novitz, who is an author and a senior lecturer in writing at Swinburne University. And he's written about this issue recently for The Conversation. Julian, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, thanks, Tegan.
Are men reading less fiction than they used to be?
Yes, that's certainly what the figures seem to indicate in Australia and globally as well. So recently, a survey by Australia Reads, which is a nonprofit that tracks reading habits and promotes reading in Australia, noted that active readers or avid readers are people who are likely to start new books and read daily are predominantly women, whereas ambivalent readers and uninterested non-readers were far more likely to be men. So this cuts across all categories of reading, but it's particularly true, I think, for literary fiction fiction in general, where male reading has been in decline for quite a substantial period of time.
So only a couple of days ago here on Life Matters, we were talking about how literature as a field is dominated by men, at least in the book lists we're taught at school. What's going on here?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point there, because, I mean, the historical canon of Western European literature that we're taught in school is predominantly male. But we've been seeing a shift, particularly in Australia over the last decade, where more and more of the critically recognised and best-selling books have been written by women. And the male position in that, and men's writing as a position in that marketplace has been in substantial decline. And that could just be seen as a correction in the market now. In terms of, we look at, say, the stats on reading habits, women readers are much more likely to read books by both men and women and have kind of an evenly distributed gender balance in their reading, whereas male readers have tended to focus predominantly on books by men. And now we're sort of seeing a market correction as more and more female readers, I think, are more interested in female authors and books that deal with books by female authors and that address aspects of relatable or familiar experience.
Part of the impetus for this chat and for the piece that you've written about for The Conversation is that there's a new publishing house in the UK that's only going to be publishing male authors. When I first heard about this, I wasn't sure about it, but there maybe is a case here that it's part of the solution.
Yes, well, that is Conduit Books, which has been set up by a novelist and critic, Jude Cook. And Cook's point, I mean, I think the most important thing to remember about Conduit Books, I think, is that this is probably quite a well-intentioned initiative. He's not saying that he's wanting to adopt an adversarial stance in relation to the female authors who are dominating the sales lists and attracting critical acclaim in the United Kingdom. But he's really interested in finding a space for fiction that is by men, that deals with contemporary topics, particularly around masculinity, questions of working life, class life, and relationships, and navigating being a man in the 21st century environment. So Cook's proposition is essentially that he feels that male writers and novels and fiction that focus on topics around masculinity is in decline in some respects. There aren't enough new authors coming up or new writers addressing these themes and topics. So he wants to create a specific space or niche in the literary market to address that in ways that are similar to I suppose, other presses that focused on particular aspects of minority experience in the past. Only what's interesting now is that this is kind of focusing on men as in kind of this more reduced or peripheral role within the literary marketplace.
What about this idea that if men aren't reading books that they're online getting radicalized? Can we really draw that line?
I think that's a difficult point to make. I think books and fiction of various kinds can probably have, you know, a radicalizing effect in some respects as well. I think the case is generally being made around the question that reading fiction and reading literary fiction, as you put it already, allows us to experience the world through a multiplicity of perspectives. It trains us, in fact, to not only just reaffirm our own belief and perspective on the world, but explore other experiences. So while I'm not necessarily convinced by Cook's point that or belief that a lack of contemporary books by male authors that are receiving kind of critical attention and acclaim is creating this kind of void in male reading, I do think there is something troubling about men as a demographic in society reading less fiction not having that kind of level of imaginative exploration and empathetic engagement.
Cook being Jude Cook, the founder of Conduit Books, that new UK publisher we were just talking about. This is Life Matters on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and we're talking about what the role that books play in helping men explore their masculinity in healthy ways, and the way that novels can help us see the world from a different perspective. And I'd love to know if there's a novel that you have read that allowed you to walk in someone else's shoes and really made you think about how other people experience the world. And there's some beautiful suggestions on the text line. Mary says, "The curious incident of the dog in the nighttime made a big impression on me as an older woman because it was seeing the world through the eyes of a neurodivergent young man." Mary said, "It stayed with me for years." Christina says, "The Beekeeper of Aleppo. It's a harrowing story about a man and his wife fleeing Syria and seeking asylum in the UK via Greece. It brought all the news about refugees in Europe to life for me and was a heartbreaking but important read." Christina says, "I only read it because my book club picked it. I would have put it in the too hard basket, and I love that the book club model takes me into new worlds." Well, Christina, thank you for providing me with this effortless segue, because I want to bring in Shay Layton, who's the Australian director of the Tough Guy Book Club, which is the most successful men's reading program in Australia. Shay, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks for having me.
What's Tough Guy Book Club? Why does it exist?
So we're 150 book clubs around Australia who get guys to read more, talk more, and have more friends. We're essentially a pub book club that's in your neighbourhood.
Sounds great. I'm probably not invited though, because I'm not a guy.
That's correct. We're a men's reading organisation. But that's not to say that we're against anyone else.
That's cool. No, I'm here for it. I think it sounds lovely. So you only read fiction books. Why have you made that choice?
Well, you know, stories is how we, you know, learn more about, like you've already been talking about, how you learn more about yourself, how you learn about more other people. You need to read other people's stories to understand the world more complexly. So we go with fiction because, you know, guys also already read enough biographies by cricketers and books about World War II. And the reason why fiction is so important in this is if you want to know about the caliber of a bullet or date of a battle, then you can look at nonfiction. But if you want to know what it felt like to be a human in that place, you need to read the stories that people tell each other.
That's such a beautiful way of putting it, what it feels like to be a human in that place. So tell me about some of the books that you've chosen or that your members have been particularly drawn to.
Just off the top of my head is like Home by Toni Morrison, which is just this. Have you ever read it?
No.
Amazing book. Toni Morrison's last book, story about the concepts of where our home, coming back from a segregated war, coming back from a desegregated war to a segregated America, two soldiers coming back to the South. Just that concept of like where you belong, who become the people that make up where you are from and where you live.
There's a particular book that you read around Donald Trump's election win, Honeybee by Craig Silvey. Talk to me about this book and why that felt like a very timely moment to be reading that book.
Well, we didn't pick those to line up, but most people in Australia know this book already. But you know, as a men's reading group, it just came up in our reading list. We were intending to do it for a while, and it just happened to align. And we have chapters in the USA as well, and so our chapters all meet on the first Wednesday of the month at 7 o'clock in your local pub. And so that happened to be the day after the American election. So discussing, you know, the story of a young trans person straight after the election of Donald Trump seemed to have a bit of gravity, you know?
So I was talking with Julian just now about the connection, whether there's a strong connection between men reading less fiction and harmful male narratives online. From the people that you're speaking to in the book club, does that ring true to you?
That's a big question. I think that, you know, I think we're all sort of talking about the same thing, which is to understand other people more complexly, you have to hear their stories. So some of the stuff that people are talking about with young men being radicalized is about, you know, disliking or not understanding other groups of people. So maybe this is a bridge to get them out of there. But the thing, you know, one of the key indicators of young men reading is if they see old men in their life, like adult men in their life reading, and they have to be men they relate to. So maybe the podcast bros are actually our way out of here as well. If we could have more of them reading some fiction, maybe that'll entice some young men to start reading.
You're listening to Life Matters here on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and I'm talking to Julian Novitz and Shay Layton about blokes reading and what books can do to help us expand our understanding of the world and how other people navigate as humans in the world in different times and places. And I'm asking you for your recommendations of books that have helped you see the world through a different perspective or in a different way. Jossie in St Kilda says, I'm non-binary, born male. I read a lot of literary fiction. And Jossie says, do not die without reading MJ Hyland's This Is How, a deeply empathetic novel about a young man's struggle with self and society. Another person on the text line saying, fabulous book giving a new perspective, The Midnight Library by Matt Haig. So, Shay, for people who are going, okay, sweet, fine, I'll read a bit more, where could they start if it's something that they're really not in the habit of doing?
Well, that's one of the things that I suppose this new publisher is talking about in a way as well, is it's more likely that people read stories that they can relate to when they start reading. So maybe more stories that are about what's great about being a young man could entice more men into the reading space. But yeah, start with something comfortable. No one starts with Chaucer, right? You start with stories that you can relate to. And then when you start reading, because reading's like going to the gym, you do it, you get stronger, you read more. Start with one book. As you get stronger, branch out, read the stories of other people.
Back in the 14th century or whatever, people had no choice but to start with Chaucer, but now we have lots of choices, which is a lovely time to be alive. Julian, I'd love to come back to you. What do you think the industry and society can be doing to encourage more men to read more fiction?
Look, I mean, I think Shay makes a great point, actually, in terms of start finding those entry books for reading where you discover it's a pleasure and that it relates to something in your life and that it speaks to you. And I mean, I think perhaps through education, I'm not so sure at the moment, but particularly maybe in secondary education, we foster reading and reading fiction often as a chore or as a task. And I think, you know, the chief value of reading fiction is that it's a pleasure. But I think, as Shay says, it's one that takes a bit of training to acquire. And so I think it's about finding those books that are accessible and contemporary and speak to the current dilemmas and aspirations of young men in ways that are relatable. So maybe perhaps going, it's very easy, I think, to hold on to some of the foundational books of our own childhood, perhaps like, say, you know, perennial J.D. Salinger's Catcher in the Rye, and assume that it speaks to the next generation in the same way. But often perhaps that doesn't, that quickly becomes dated. And potentially maybe exploring some of the innovations in genre fiction and forms of young adult fiction and centering those more to create kind of entry points for reading. And also just to agree with Shay again. I think finding, you know, models in one's own life for reading. I grew up seeing my father read. It was and talking and discussing, you know, books with his male friends. That's important. We have to see it as just something that's not being pushed on people from outside, but you know, something that feels natural, something that feels like a pleasure rather than a chore.
Julie and Shay, you've got me inspired to go home and crack open that giant to be read pile next to my bed. Thanks so much for joining me. Julian Novitz, Senior Lecturer in Writing with the Department of Media and Communication with Swinburne University, and Shay Layton, founder of the Tough Guy Book Club. And speaking of old and new classics, Judith in Sydney says, To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. I read this in my teens and it's still my favourite book. It enabled a glimpse into racism, life-changing. And another says, Restless Donnelly Maunder by Kate Grenville gave me an insight into the lives of my mother and grandmothers and explained their hardness and underlying anger. Well, if books are your thing, I would be remiss not to remind you about ABC Radio National's Top 100 Books of the 21st Century. It's a new annual countdown where we will hand over the reins to you to vote for your favourite books, and we will celebrate the top 100 in a big weekend broadcast. It's later this year. Voting is not officially open yet, but you can join the discussion about top 100 books and share book recommendations with your fellow readers in the ABC Book Club Facebook group. So if you're interested in that, it's ABC Book Club on Facebook.